This morning, if you were able to be with us, we talked about the New Testament preaching of the Word, God's messenger called to proclaim God's message. And what we want to look at tonight is an example of an Old Testament messenger of God who's given God's message to proclaim in his day. And we'll see how this messenger of the Old Covenant points us to the ultimate messenger of God, Jesus, and how that informs and encourages our work as his messengers and proclaimers in our day and in our context. It is important to know the background of where Ezekiel is. If you can rewind in your Old Testament mind, Ezekiel is in Babylon. God has calling him to minister to the Babylonian exiles. It's about 5 years after one of the rounds of exile has taken place. Israel rebelled against the Babylonian overlords. The Babylonians came in, besieged the city. This time, the Israelites surrendered, and so the city wasn't destroyed, not yet, but the king and a number of the leading citizens were carted off, including Ezekiel, to Babylon. And here is God speaking to Ezekiel in Babylon to be his messenger there. He already has a messenger in Jerusalem, that's Jeremiah. Now among the exiles, it's Ezekiel. So let's read chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After seeing this great vision of God, this glory of the Lord, we pick up here. And he, the voice, the Lord, said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are also impudent and stubborn. I send you to them. And you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But to the house of Israel will not listen, be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house." Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, all the words that I speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. And go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear." And the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from its place. And it was the sound of wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, and the sound of a great earthquake. And the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong upon me. And I came to the exiles at Tel Abib, who were dwelling by the Kabar Canal, and I sat where they were dwelling, and I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. Let's pray for God's blessing. Lord, we have read your word, and now as it's proclaimed, we pray that you would teach and encourage and strengthen, Lord, that we might see your word go forth even in our day and bring forth great fruit. And we pray it for the sake of Christ and in his name. Amen. God's messenger in the old covenant. You see clearly God's calling here. Here God goes to Ezekiel there among the exiles. He has a man in Jerusalem. Now he needs a man in exile among the people there. And he says very clearly, Ezekiel, you're the man. Verse 3 of chapter 2. Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel. I send you. God has a message. He needs a messenger. And he's going to use a human messenger to bring it forth. He could use angels. That's what angel means, messenger. But he chooses not to. He chooses to use a human instrument, a weak vessel. Even the language, son of man, emphasizes the kind of frailty, the humanness of it. We'll go on to talk about Ezekiel and the temptation to be afraid. But God chooses to use a messenger. Son of man, I send you. I send you. Of course, God doing the same kind of thing in our day. Different context, of course. New covenant context, as we'll get into. But also a different spiritual context. But in many ways, a lot of similarities. God is sending Ezekiel to a difficult people, a difficult land. The opposition, the challenge. And of course, in our day, there's similar challenges. God sends us to a difficult place, a difficult message, and yet he wants to use people in our day, too. We also want to take note not just of the calling, but also the message. The message. It's interesting to see, before God starts giving the prophetic word that comes in later chapters, in this chapter, in the midst of the calling, he summarizes what Ezekiel is to do. What his message is to be. It's interesting. Did you notice how he summarizes Ezekiel's message? He does it in several different places. For example, chapter 2, verse 4. Here's how he summarizes it. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. Then he moves on. There's the summary. Here's your message. Thus says the Lord God. He repeats the same thing in verse 7. And you shall speak my words. There's the summary. Similar kind of thing, chapter 3, verse 4, as he says, speak my words. And again, chapter 3, verse 11, here's what you're to say to them. Thus says the Lord God. You see how he's really ramming home to Ezekiel. Here's your task. Here's your message. It's just tell them what I say. That's it. Tell them my words, full stop. Don't give your thoughts on life. Don't give your wisdom. Don't pass along your opinions on the politics going on in Jerusalem. No, just tell them what I said. Give them my word. And to reinforce it, he has this picture, this vision of a little scroll. There's the scroll given to Ezekiel. God hands it to him. The first thing that happens is it's unrolled, and Ezekiel notices that the scroll has writing on both sides, which to someone in that day would immediately have them standing back and realize, oh, this must be something really important. You see, scrolls were really hard to write on the back of a scroll. It's really bumpy on the back. And so, you know, easy on the front. But to write on the front and the back means you had a really important message and you had to make sure you got all of it down in one place. And so Ezekiel, oh, this must be important. And what is the scroll what to happen with the scroll? Well, Ezekiel is told, eat it. Eat it, Ezekiel. Eat it. And he does. Sweet as honey, we're told, as he eats this book. Imagine sitting at a restaurant and the waiter hands you a plate with a big book on it. Just eat up. Right? Get your attention. You see the illustration for Ezekiel. What is he to do? He take in God's message, the scroll. Before he can speak it forth, he's going to take it in. And that's what's going to come out of his mouth. That's what his mouth is going to be filled with. That's what his life is going to be filled with. It's just God's message. Thus saith the Lord. That's a good encouragement for us in our day. God has a message for the world. He has a task for us. It's to simply say that to the world. Thus saith the Lord. And give the Lord's message in our day. We too need to take it in, taste its sweetness. That's part of what Sunday is all about. It's mealtime. As you open your Bible during the week, mealtime, you're eating the scroll, you're taking it in. And the calling then in the world as God's church is just, thus saith the Lord. And usually when the church gets in trouble, when we start to have trouble with each other and conflict and division, is usually when we go off message. And we start going away from the simple, thus saith the Lord, to tangential issues. The call in this day is to stay focused on what God says. Here's what he says, declaring it to one another and to our world. The messenger, the message, the strength that God provides. The strength that God provides. If Ezekiel is going to do this, he's going to need help. He's going to need help. Did you notice how difficult the job is, how it's presented as an extremely difficult job? First, you get the emphasis about how bad the audience is, how they're rebels. They've given their allegiance to the wrong thing. They're rebels, describing them as hard-headed, as hard-hearted. Ezekiel's not going to be preaching to the choir. It's not going to be a friendly audience. He also says to Ezekiel multiple times, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, think about it. If someone comes to you and says, I'll have a job for you. Here's an important job. It's all yours. And they kept repeating, but don't be afraid. But don't be afraid. No, really, don't be afraid. What does that tell you about the job? This is going to be a challenge. And that's exactly what it is. But Ezekiel also gets that he will not be alone with this task. He will have the work of the Spirit, which will be his strength in the midst of proclaiming God's word. It's where the passage begins. If you caught it, at the end of chapter 1, Ezekiel gets this vision of the glory of the Lord, and he falls on his face. Chapter 2 begins by God saying, stand up, and then we're told the Spirit picks him up. Picks him up. And then at the end of the chapter, what does the Spirit do? But the Spirit lifts him up and takes him to his mission field. It's a foreshadowing in many ways. It's an introduction to the work of the Spirit, which is a big theme in Ezekiel. How is the Word of God going to have any power in this very difficult calling and very difficult context? The Spirit, here it already begins its work. Ezekiel's picked up, he's placed in the right place, and the theme will continue throughout the book. This is a big thrust in probably the Ezekiel passage that you know the best. Probably if you think of the book of Ezekiel, the chapter that comes to mind the most is, Ezekiel and the dry bones, chapter 37. Remember where all the power comes? How in the world are these dry bones ever going to come to life again? How do they come to life? The Spirit. The Spirit, as the word goes forth from Ezekiel, this task that looks ridiculous, I'm supposed to preach to dead bones? How is this worth anything? The lesson is, it's the Spirit who's going to quicken and make alive. A good encouragement for us in our day. We might be tempted to look around and say, this is just too hard. Speaking forth the word of God in our day, it's too difficult. It's too hard. We might be tempted to give up. We might be tempted to be afraid. And that's where we remember it's the same Spirit that's at work in us, in all of us. There's the part of the newness of the new covenant, the Spirit, not just in the prophet or the priest or the king, the Spirit in fullness on every believer, having this same Spirit. And the Spirit makes us strong. Did you catch that theme where God says to Ezekiel, the people are hard-headed, so I'm going to make you hard-headed. right? I'm going to make your forehead like flint, just like theirs. He's not saying he's going to make Ezekiel obnoxious, but to face a difficult calling, there's going to have to be a strength. There's going to have to be a hardness to stay the course. I'm going to make you strong. In fact, it's actually what Ezekiel's name means. Ezekiel means God hardens or God strengthens. Part of what God's going to do is help Ezekiel to live out his name. And that's the same for us in our day. God's going to give us the strength to be Ezekiel, to be strengthened, hardened, to be able to stay the course and have a kind of righteous stubbornness to lovingly give the word of God, even when it's not very popular. God strengthens, the Holy Spirit at work. And God says to Ezekiel, you're going to do this task, and don't worry about the results. Did you catch that refrain as well? You're to say, thus saith the Lord, whether they hear or refuse to hear. It really makes that point. That's not your job to figure out, Ezekiel. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, that doesn't make a difference in your calling. You just keep saying, thus saith the Lord, giving my message to the people I've sent you. Again, a good encouragement to us. How often are we tempted to try to do God's job for him? I'm not sure if they'll hear the word, so maybe I should pull back. I'm not sure if they'd want to come to church, so I won't invite them. You know, it's a temptation. It makes sense. God says, don't worry about the response. Leave that to me. You do your task, your calling in the world. And as we look, whenever we look at Scripture, we made this point this morning, it tells us all about Jesus, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. And certainly this is an example where we see Jesus being foreshadowed and pictured. Ultimately, where Ezekiel points, before he ever gets to us, is to Jesus himself. Think of Jesus, well, there's the ultimate messenger of God sent with God's message. In fact, we even read that God's plan of redemption goes all the way back before the foundation of the world, Ephesians tells us. And part of that planning before the foundation of the world is this plan to send the Son. God's calling upon the ultimate messenger goes back before anything was ever created. There was the Son set apart, called to be the messenger of the triune God in the world. And he had a message. And think of how Jesus in his earthly ministry really emphasized, especially in the book of John, that the only thing he was teaching was what the Father had given to him. Now, right here is John 15. It's just one example. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. He says it again and again in John's gospel, especially. I'm just speaking what the Father has given. It's this Ezekiel come to fulfillment. Here is God's messenger showing up, and he's bringing God's message. In fact, Jesus, you could say, even better than Ezekiel, he doesn't have to take the word from outside and eat it like Ezekiel. Think of who Jesus is. Well, John begins by describing him as the Word. Jesus is the very embodiment of the message. He doesn't need to eat the message. He is the message. He is the Word. And so he comes in a form even better and more powerful than Jesus. He's the very message of God to our world in his very body, and then in his very voice. And he comes, of course, in the strength of the Spirit. And Jesus arrives, before he begins to preach a word, there he is baptized, not only with water, but the Spirit of God falling upon him. And then, in fact, his first message that he preaches openly there in Luke in the synagogue is, behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news. There, the Spirit-strengthened messenger. Ultimately, it's Jesus. And now, there is part of where we get to us. How can we think about being God's messengers in our day? Well, it's because we're connected to this Jesus. God has sent the Spirit of Jesus upon us. And that gives us great strength. Whether we're preachers, capital P, someone who stands in a pulpit and proclaims God's word in a more official way, like we talked about this morning, or whether it's just that everyday calling of the believer to be lights in the world, to be witnesses, to be encouragers of the brethren and witnesses to a lost world. How can we have strength to do that? Ultimately, it's because God connects us to Jesus. God connects us to Jesus. And there is great confidence for us. Now, we can expect to see God do great things, to bring forth fruit, to strengthen us that we might not be afraid. But look to God, invite others to hear the word, share the word ourselves, pray for fruit, and expect God to do great things. Now, let's pray. Father, we do ask that you would strengthen us as Ezekiel's in our day. And we're thankful for Jesus and that great and ultimate messenger who even is continuing to speak now through his word and spirit, continuing to bring forth fruit. And we pray that you would work in us as instruments in his hands in this place that you've placed us, this calling and era in history and place. Lord, would you do that? Help us to see fruit because your spirit is at work in us and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's close singing 304. 304. Let's stand and sing.